Amen, amen. If you're able, if you can remain standing just for a few moments as Kenna comes and reads our scripture for this morning. This morning we're in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12.
All right, Colossians 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Kenna. You can be seated, kids. You guys are released to head to your areas this morning. Amen. Well, good morning and welcome once again. My name is Jared. I'm the pastor here. And if you haven't noticed yet, there's quite a few Jareds here, so it's easy to get confused. And so if you just yell out Jared, you'll probably get one of us and they can point you in the right direction. But again, we're glad you're here today. If you're a guest, man, welcome. We're excited that you came to join us. I'm always excited when guests make their way here because there are so many obstacles between Highway 90 and here that could have deterred you. But yet you stayed the course. And you walked into this building anyways, and so we praise God for you this morning. A couple of things this morning before we get into God's Word. How many of you can believe we're already in August? Right? Didn't we just have January? Wasn't it just New Year's not that long ago? But we're already August, what? Today's August 3rd. Our teachers go back to school this week, students next week. So be in prayer for our teachers and our students. With that being said, we had a great group show up last night to go pray over Eastman Elementary School and walk the halls there. I think it was about 20 of us did that. So thank you for giving your Saturday evening to go and pray for the students and teachers of that school. We also have had our fabulous five that came and painted in the school that morning. And so appreciate you guys for sacrificing your Saturday as well for that. August starts the busy time of the year between now and Christmas. There's a lot going on. And so if you are a member here or a guest and you want to stay involved, make sure you follow us on social media. Make sure you sign up to receive our text and email blasts every week so you can stay plugged in. A couple of things that I just want to draw your attention to that are coming up really soon. Next Sunday, August 10th, is our pop-up Sunday. We have our kids moving up from preschool to rep kids, and we have some rep kids moving over into our Foundry youth ministry. So we're going to recognize those students next week. Yeah, clap for them. Next Sunday, we'll also begin our small group sign-ups for our fall term. So make sure you're here for that. You get plugged into a small group. If you've never been a part of a small group, that's where life happens here at Replicate. That's where you're loved on the best. It's through those small groups. That's where you find community. You know, you read scripture, and God has designed us in such a way that we were not meant to do life alone. When you do life alone, you're just food for the enemy. He's prowling around just trying to pick you off. And when he's isolated you from the rest of the body of Christ, he's won, all right? And so we were not meant to do life alone. So be in prayer this week about what group you should plug into. They meet at different homes throughout the week at different times. Some have kids, some don't. And so we'll have all that information next week. With that, though, we do need one or two more host homes for our small groups. And so if you're like, hey, I'm remotely interested in hosting a small group, come see me after our gathering today. No commitment. I can just give you some more information on what that entails and what that looks like. And so if you're interested in leading or hosting a small group, please come see me before you leave today. So, all right, this morning, if you're a guest with us, we're doing things a little bit different than we normally do. Normally, we're preaching through books of the Bible. And so we're going to start the book of James on August 17th. So this week and next week are kind of standalone messages. And we don't really do topical that much, but we're going to do a little bit of topical message today. And this morning, we're going to focus on prayer. And so if you were here about a year and a half ago, we did do a small series through prayer. But if you've been a believer for a minute, you grew up in church, you've probably heard about prayer. But show of hands, how many of you actually had somebody teach you how to pray? A few, okay, all right. What usually happens is you're just told, hey, prayer is something you do. It's just talking to God, which it is, just talking to God. But as you read scripture, there's so much more to prayer, and it's so much more important than we're led to believe sometimes, and we end up neglecting it when it should be a major priority in the life of the believer. And so we did a series through prayer about a year and a half ago. We made a commitment as a church to create a culture of prayer. And so we've implemented prayer nights and people gathering here for prayer on Sunday mornings and some other things like that in an effort to cultivate that prayer culture within Replicate. And so this morning, we're going to revisit that a little bit, and we're going to look at Colossians 4:12. So you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. But after you make your way there, go ahead and put your finger on Psalm 23 and then fold the page on Acts chapter 4. So that's where we're headed this morning. Colossians 4:12, Psalms 23, and Acts 4. Again, oftentimes in especially the Western American church, prayer is something we hear talked about a lot. We hear that it's important, you should do it. It's part of the Christian experience. But unfortunately, in the Western church, in the American church, it's often regulated to just one of many other things you might do. It's almost talked about as if it's optional, as it's something you do when you have the time to do it. The reality is that prayer is one of the most crucial parts of our faith as we seek to live for Jesus and seek His will for our lives. See, prayer is not something we might do. Prayer is something we must do. It's not optional, though it's been portrayed as being optional, as it's not that important. In the modern church, many have substituted prayer for programs and systems. They said, if we plan well enough, if we have the coolest worship and the best preachers, then ministry is going to happen. Prayer is often delegated to the bookends of a service. It's something you do to usher the band off the stage on a Sunday morning. Rarely is it today where prayer is made to be the focal points of the church and in the life of the believer. This past week, I had the privilege of attending a prayer event with 40 other pastors from all over the world at the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York. Outside of the cultural shock for me, it was a fantastic experience. This church gathers every Tuesday, in the heart of downtown Brooklyn, New York, not in the Bible Belt of the South, and they just pray, right? And I'm not talking just a couple people. I'm talking 2,000 people in downtown Brooklyn, New York, from all over the world are gathered to seek the face of God every Tuesday without fail. Because they understand the necessity of prayer in the life of the believer in the church. They understand that prayer is not optional. And so in seeing that and in hearing the stories of how God has answered prayer after prayer and how the Spirit of God works in this place, it's just deepened my conviction of how crucial prayer is to the life of the Christian and of the church. Here's what we need to understand is that success in ministry happens through the power of God, which is accessed through prayers to God. Success in ministry is not because you got the coolest preacher or the best band or the best kids program or the coolest programs. Success in ministry, kingdom success, is rooted in the power of God, which God has designed to be accessed through the prayer to God. If we want to be successful in our calling, in the ministry that God has called Replicate Church to, if you want to be successful in the calling that He has placed on your life as a believer, prayer has to be a vital, must-do part of your walk with the Lord. Listen, a sermon that has not been bathed in prayer is just a religious research paper. Right? A worship song that where they have not sought the Lord's direction and sought to honor Him and prayed over that worship service or that worship song is just a cool song. Prayer is essential to success in ministry. Prayer is the key to the power of God being unleashed in the church, in the lives of believers, and in this city. It's with our prayer, without prayer, we close off access to the power of God. If we are a prayerless Christian, if we are a prayerless church, we are closing off access to the power of God that dwells inside the heart of every believer. Without the power of God present in what we're doing in ministry, everything we're doing is just noise. If the power of God is absent, if the presence of God is absent in what we're doing in our lives as Christians and as a church, it's just noise. Man, we're just gathering to gather. We're not gathering with purpose. We're not gathering with intention. We're not gathering with any kind of power. We're just there. But when the power of God is present, that's when stuff starts happening, right? That's what we said last year. When people pray, stuff happens. Supernatural things start happening. We start relying on our own power. Man, it's just, it's the supernatural ceases to happen. Now, I want you to consider this moment, this morning, this drill. I'm not really handy, but I do know how to operate a drill. Now, it doesn't matter if it's, we're not going to argue about Ryobi, Cobalt, whatever. Right? But this drill was made for a specific purpose. Right? And it can accomplish that purpose. It can do that thing that it was made to do. Right? It's good to go. However, if you remove this battery, it's a useless tool. I've seen some of you use it as a hammer at that point, but it's not doing what it was made to be do. Right? It is useless without this battery. It is useless without the power source. The same goes true for the follower of Christ and the church. Doesn't matter how good you look. Doesn't matter how gifted you are, how good of a preacher you are, a singer you are, a teacher you are. Man, without the power of God in what you're doing, you're useful in kingdom matters. You're useless in fulfilling God's purpose for your life. You're useless in ministry because the power of God is not present. So this morning we're going to look at the crucial nature of prayer and really why we struggle with prayer and some ways to kind of overcome that. Right? And so if you have your Bibles open, we're going to head in just a moment to Colossians 4:12. But as we make our way there, I think we need to have a common understanding of what prayer is. We need to have a common definition of what prayer is. And so again, prayer is a conversation with God. Yes, in its simplest form, that is what prayer is. Is sinful man talking to a holy God. However, when you really understand prayer and you read about prayer in Scripture, we can kind of form a little bit better definition. Prayer can be defined as this. Prayer is communion with God that leads to the fulfillment of His will. Prayer is communion with God that leads to the fulfillment of the will of God. Prayer is us communing with our Heavenly Father. And as we commune with our Heavenly Father, as we pray to our Heavenly Father, He accomplishes His will in and through our lives. I love the quote by Vance Pittman, who's president of Send Network, of who we planted a church through. He said, God in His divine sovereignty, for reasons that we're not privy to as human beings, nor that we will ever fully understand, has designated prayer as the means to which His power is set forth in our lives so that He might accomplish His will through our lives. I don't understand it, but for whatever reason, in God's divine sovereignty, He said prayer is how you're going to access the power that dwells in you. Prayer is how you're going to access the power that you need for my will to be accomplished in your life and the life of the church. Prayer, in its sense, is this supernatural tool given to us by God that we don't really fully understand, but He has deemed crucially necessary for the follower of Christ. You know, it's the power of God that enables us to fulfill the will of God in our lives. Without prayer, we lack fellowship with God. It hinders access to a power and accomplishing His will. But if prayer is so important, then why do so many Christians and churches neglect it? If prayer is so important, why do many churches and Christians neglect it? Why, for many followers of Christ, the only time they pray is on Sunday mornings and maybe before a meal or two during the week? Why, if prayer is so important, do the only time you talk about prayer in church is again at those bookends or to usher the band off the stage? Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. The reason that prayer is so inconsistent in the life of the believer and of the church is because prayer is hard work. Prayer is hard work. That's what we see in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. As Paul is talking to the church at Colossae, he's giving his final greetings, his final affirmations, and he's talking to the church about a gentleman there who had helped planted that church, And he said, he is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus. He greets you, and he says, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. So there's this guy who had planted the church in Colossae, who's working in ministry with Paul. And Paul is to encourage the church, says, hey, not only is he working alongside me, but he is striving. He is struggling in prayers on your behalf. Now, what's interesting is if you look up the Greek word there for struggling, it means to strive, to labor, to work. Paul uses it again in Romans 15:30 to talk about prayer as well. And so what he's telling the church at Colossae is this man has been working, he's been doing the hard work of prayer on your behalf. He's been praying for your spiritual maturity. He's been praying that you would be affirmed in the will of God, that you would not doubt his will in your life. What's also interesting about that word in the Greek is this, is that word for struggling, it conveys a kind of strenuous labor. Right? I know we got some CrossFitters in the room, right? We're talking about that kind of strenuous activity in your life. So Paul is using a word that is comparing prayer to what would be the strenuous nature of maybe working out or running a marathon or doing CrossFit. Right? Prayer is such a strenuous word that we see Jesus praying in the garden starting to sweat drops of blood. Prayer is a hard work. Prayer is a strenuous work, and that's why many Christians are not engaged with it as they should, because it's hard work. Listen, we've all been there. Most of us try to get out of hard work, right? The game's on. We got something else we want to do. We're not naturally drawn to hard work. There's some weirdos in the room that are, but most of us try to get out of hard work. Unless it's something we really enjoy doing, and then it's okay. So the place that Christians need to get to is that we need to understand that prayer, although it's a strenuous hard work, should be something that we take joy in and want to do because it's communing with our Heavenly Father. So you take the words of Colossians 4:12, this strenuous work of prayer, and you look at what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, where he instructs believers, says, hey, you need to be praying without ceasing. You need to be praying in all things. You need to be praying day and night. You need to develop a lifestyle of prayer. And so here's the instructions we have as followers of Christ, is that we are to have a life where we are intentionally pursuing the strenuous work of prayer. Prayer is a strenuous work that we believers are to persistently labor in. It's not a when I want to thing. It's not a when I get to it thing. It's not a, oh, somebody else is going to pray for me thing. It is a work, a strenuous work, that every believer has been called to persistently labor in if they desire to access the power of God in their life. But again, when we see it in the church, it's that thing that's kind of somewhat talked about. We you know, it's something we say, hey, when somebody asks us a question, hey, will you do this? We give them the Christian answer, say, I'll pray about it, and then we never pray about it, right? It's just we don't want to tell them no to their face, so we're going to tell them we're going to pray about it, and then we're going to text them later no, right? That's sometimes what prayer is relegated to. Prayer is the thing that we end up getting to, right, at the last 5 minutes of a small group when we're all ready to go home and we're hungry and we're tired, and we dread the guy that's coming next with the long list of prayer requests. Prayer is often the thing we say we'll get to it when we can. Rarely is it intentional and a priority. Sometimes in churches, you see where prayer has been relegated or delegated to the few and the proud, kind of like the Marines of the church, right? The prayer warriors. The group of older ladies that gathers together on Tuesday morning to pray. The prayers at the men's breakfast, the prayer gatherings. Like, prayer is sometimes said, it's portrayed as being for the few, even labeling them as the weird. Right? And none of those things are inherently bad, but they do portray this, they project this idea to people that, well, prayer is not for everybody. You know, people that pray without ceasing are, they're just weird. They're different. They're wired different. Sometimes we don't pray because we're busy. Sometimes we don't pray because we're just not comfortable with it, because we don't know how. Here's what we need to understand about prayer, and I love this quote from Daniel Henderson. He says, "To neglect the work of prayer is to declare our independence from God." Whatever your reason is for not praying, when you say, I'm not going to pray, when I'm going to let somebody else pray, it's you declaring your independence from God. You're saying, God, I don't need you. I don't need your power. I got it. I'm good. I can do things on my own. When the church says, we're not going to focus on prayer, we're going to focus on systems, we're going to focus on this, they're saying, God, we don't need you in this. We got it. Come back later and check on us. Now, to the opposite of that, though, engaging in prayer, though, is humbly declaring your dependence upon God. Because when we come to the Lord in prayer, we have to humble ourselves. We're saying, God, I need you more. I cannot do this in my own power. I need your power. I need your wisdom. I need your guidance. I need your discernment. And so neglecting prayer is a declaration of our independence. Engaging in prayer is a declaration of our dependence upon God, is which where we need to be as followers of Christ. You know, I've heard it said before that the devil doesn't need to destroy the church. He doesn't need to destroy Christians. He just needs to distract them. And he has done a great job in the modern church of distracting them from the work of prayer. Insert whatever reason you want to put there of why prayer maybe has not been a highlight or a priority. Fancy programs, self-reliant attitudes, busy lives, whatever it may be. The enemy has won when he has convinced us we don't need to pray. Because he knows that he doesn't stand a chance when the church humbles themselves and prays. He cannot withstand the power unleashed in the body of Christ and in the city when the church begins to pray. He does not stand a chance, and so he has won when we say, I'll get to it when I can. He has no need to mess with us at any point after that, because he knows we're not a threat. And so here's what we need to understand, that prayer is not weird, it's a work that we get to be a part of, a work that we should have joy in. The work of prayer is worth doing because God is worthy. The work of prayer is worth doing because God is worthy. He is worthy of our prayers, even if he never answered a single one of them. He is worthy to be prayed to. We should approach God in prayer simply because we get to be with the God of all creation. So often we approach God and we seek his hand before we seek his face. Right? We come to him with our list of demands, our list of things of how we think he should operate. And then we say, amen, God, I'll talk to you later. Rarely do we come to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I'm just seeking you. I just want to be in your presence. Lord, I'm just praising you for what you've done. Lord, just thank you for saving me. Lord, I'm just going to sit here in your presence and I'm going to listen for your voice. We should seek God's face before we seek his hand. We should seek the face of God before all else because he is worthy to be sought. He is worthy to be worshiped. He is worthy to pray to because he is holy. He is righteous. He is full of goodness and grace and mercy because he is God. And then in his grace, not only is he worthy to be prayed to, but he is faithful to answer our prayer. We saw that in Psalm 3 this morning. He is faithful to hear our prayers and answer our prayers from his throne in heaven. Like Scripture teaches that he desires that we bring our needs to him. He desires that we bring our anxieties, we bring our troubles, we bring our issues. He wants us to do that, but we need to do so with a right posture of heart, which is we need to be motivated in prayer because we want to seek his face, not just what we're seeking and what we can get from him. God desires a humble heart above all else. He desires that we pray in accordance to his will, that we pray with faith, we pray with a right posture of heart. The motives of our prayer should simply be that we're just praying because God is worthy to be prayed to and nothing else. Here's an example. If I only prayed to God to grow this church exponentially, and I never prayed to God to seek his will or seek his face or just to be with him, my attitude towards prayer is not where it needs to be, right? My attitude to prayer should be this. I'm going to seek the face of God. I'm going to seek his will in my life. I'm going to seek his power in my life. And if he should so bless the work that is going on here and he decides to multiply, praise the Lord. And if he doesn't, praise the Lord, I'm going to pray anyways. That should be the motive of our heart as we seek the face of God. We should delight in the work of prayer simply because we get to sit in the presence of God as we pray. The joy of heaven, the thing that we're going to spend all eternity doing, is sitting in the presence of God and worshiping his name. And so prayer is a way we get to do that now, this side of heaven. It's just sit in his presence, seek his face, and worship his name. So why not get comfortable doing that here if that's what we're going to spend eternity doing? Right? That's all we're doing in eternity is sitting in the presence of God, sitting in awe of his presence and worshiping him. And through prayer, we get to do that this side of heaven. We pray because God is worthy. We pray because it's how we access the power of God that dwells in us as followers of Christ. We pray because it's vital to our mission. And if you read the book of Acts, the apostles in the early church, man, they knew that. They understood that. If you examine all four Gospels, the one recorded conversation we have with the disciples and Jesus, where they actually say, Jesus, can you teach us something, is in Luke chapter 11, where they say, Jesus, teach us to turn water into wine. No. Jesus, teach us how to walk on water. No. Jesus, teach us how to multiply our Lunchables so we don't go hungry again. No. It says, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Because Jesus had modeled for them over and over and over again the importance of prayer as he sought his heavenly Father in prayer. And so in Luke 11, they go to him and say, Lord, teach us to pray. Acts chapter 4, we see the church, the early church, and how they modeled prayer and how they sought the Lord in prayer. And in Acts chapter 4, verses 24 through 26, you can go ahead and turn there now if you still have your finger there. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had been taken up by the Jewish council. They had been scolded for sharing the gospel. And when they were released, they went back to their friends. They went back to the other church members, the other disciples and believers. And this is what it says in verse 24. It says, and when they heard it, talking about the church, all the disciples and believers gathered there, they lifted their voice together in unity as one body, all praying aloud at one time. That's what that means. They were not sitting silent in prayer, but the entire body of Christ was lifting their voice in prayer in unison to God. Sitting silently in the church and praying to ourselves is a Western American thing. They do not do that in other parts of the world. They think we're weird because we don't cry out to the Lord because we care too much about what other people may think about us. Continue in verse 24. They cried their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of your father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, Why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. And the prayer continues all the way through verse 30. As we're here, there's two things I want us to notice from their prayer. Well, three. Number one, they prayed in unison and they prayed aloud. But as they began their prayer, the first thing they did was they started their prayer in worship. They started their prayer with reverence to their Heavenly Father. They started in acknowledging His sovereignty, His goodness, acknowledging who He is and what He had done. They were praising Him for what He had done, praising Him for who He was. And if you go back to Luke 11, where they ask Jesus, hey, teach us to pray, and He gives us the model prayer, the template for prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer, that's exactly how that prayer begins. Right? Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right? Hallowed be thy name. They're praising God. They're giving reverence to God for His holiness and who He is. And so they're following that same model as they pray now as one body. When we come to the Lord in prayer, we need to be sure that we begin with worship, with giving Him reverence, instead of our list of demands. That follows the example Jesus gives us in Luke 11. It follows the example given by the early church in Acts 4. The other thing we need to notice is this. As you continue to read that text, if you'll notice verses 25 and 26, there's something else the early church is doing here. Verses 25 and 26, they're actually quoting Scripture. They're actually praying God's word back to Him from Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. So they start with worship, and then they begin their prayers by praying God's own word back to Him. And I would contend to this morning that one of the most effective ways you and I can pray is by praying God's word back to Him. And we're going to talk about some reasons why. The first is this: when we pray God's word back to Him, we can be assured that our prayers align with God's heart. If we're praying God's word back to Him, we don't have to worry about if what we're praying is in line with the word of God, because we're what? We're praying God's word back to Him. When we pray through Scripture, we can be confident we're in line with the word of God. Listen, great place to start is the book of Psalms. It's mostly prayers anyways. So you're just praying to God prayers that are already written by God, assured that you're going to be in alignment with His will. The other assurance we have is that as we are praying God's word, we can be assured that our prayers will never get boring. Listen, we can be honest in this room. How many of you have ever went to a prayer service and fell asleep? You can raise your hand. Amen. All right. How many of you ever went to got to prayer time at a small group? And I remember happening this years ago, and some in this room were in that same group, right? Where prayer would just drag on so long because we were praying for grandpa's toe and the cat down the street, and it just got so boring that you dreaded the prayer time. Been in those circles? If we're real honest, one of the big reasons we neglect prayer is because we've been in some very poor, boring prayer meetings, prayer situations. And nothing makes a strenuous, hard work harder than if it's extremely boring. Right? If I'm going to do hard work, I would rather it be exciting, right? I'd rather it pass the time a little bit better by being exciting than just time dragging on. But if we're praying God's word back to Him, we can assure it, we have this assurance that it's not going to be boring. Right? Because we serve a creative God. Like, the God that we serve, He spoke everything into existence. Like the song we sang earlier, His words spoke galaxies, billions of galaxies into existence. He created everybody in this room unique. His creativity never runs out. That same creativity is present in His word. And so if we're praying God's word back to Him, we can be assured that our prayers are never going to get boring. Because oftentimes the reason our prayers get boring, it's because we don't have the right words to say. We don't have a very extensive vocabulary, right? You know, if you could go into any church today and you could almost predict some of the prayers, right? Lord, bless us for this. Lord, forgive us for that. Lord, be with this person. Lord, please do this thing. Give us this travel mercy. You could predict what's going to be said. You could plug and play any person on that stage and you can say, I can kind of track, if you've been in church for a minute, what's going to be said. But here's what happens when we pray God's word. Praying God's word gives us the vocabulary we need to express the cry of our heart. Praying God's word gives us the vocabulary we need to express the cry in our heart. Sometimes there's things, there's I don't know, I can't describe it other than a feeling of something that we need to pray, but we don't have the words to pray it. And so we start praying God's word, and all of a sudden, hey, guess what? The Holy Spirit's involved. And he starts stirring up words. He starts giving us the vocabulary. He starts drawing up needs of things that we didn't even know we needed to pray about. And the next thing you know, we're praying for 30 minutes or an hour because prayer is no longer boring. Now prayer is something we look forward to. So we're going to do something this morning that's a little bit different. If you're a guest, you're welcome to participate. Or you can sit there. If you're an unbeliever or a believer, no matter where you are on the spectrum this morning, you can do this. So go to Psalm 23 this morning. Say amen when you get there. All right, three of y'all. Psalms 23. We're gonna teach you guys how to pray through Scripture real quick. Psalm 23. We're just going to look at verse 1. Verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So let's say you wake up in the morning, you got your cup of coffee, you're starting your day with the Lord, and you're like, man, I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Where do I start? Start in Psalm 23, verse 1. And it could go something like this. Lord, man, thank you for being my shepherd. Lord, thank you for how you shepherd my life. Lord, forgive me for the times where I have rejected you as my shepherd and say, I'm going to do my own thing. Lord, today I pray that you would continue to be my shepherd and you would be so-and-so shepherd as well today. They would accept you as Savior and that you would be their good shepherd as well. Lord, I'm so grateful that you are faithful to meet the needs of your people, that I am not in want, right? God, I pray I have these needs today, and I know your word says you're faithful to meet the needs of your people, so I ask that you provide these needs for me today, Lord. But I know that at the end of the day, you are faithful no matter what. You are good no matter what, because you are my shepherd. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you a couple minutes. And I want you to just start there and just read through a couple verses and just start praying. Just kind of see how that feels. Just see where the Spirit leads you as you pray through Psalms 23. Again, I'm going to give you just a couple minutes. Just practice it for a moment. I hate to interrupt people when they're praying. I know some of you have already realized that you could probably have kept going praying in God's word. It wasn't hard. It's not rocket science. Listen, and so here's some top shelf kind of seminary knowledge I want to give you this morning. And so here's what you do when you read a psalm and it comes to its conclusion and you need some more stuff to pray. Here's what you do, right? You ready? You just pick up the page and turn it over. There's more. Right? 150 Psalms. You can even do this for other parts of Scripture. It's a little bit different when you're reading some different of the narratives, but start in Psalms this week. Just start praying through the Psalms and just see if your prayer life doesn't get a little more vibrant, a little less boring, if you don't start anticipating and desiring to spend that time with the Lord. There was a famous English pastor named George Mueller. Was it known for his intense dedication to prayer? Was known to spend hours in prayer even before breakfast. But he was talking to a group one day about his prayer life. He said, you know, sometimes it takes me hours to just kind of get in the spirit, right? to actually feel like I'm praying, to feel like I'm in the presence of the Lord. He said, that was until I did this. Anybody know what he started doing? He started praying God's word back to him. He said, instantly I was in the Spirit of God because I was reading God's word and I was praying God's word back to him, and God's Spirit is always present in his word. Praying God's word makes sure that we are aligned with God. It adds creativity and takes the boring nature out of prayer. Man, and it puts us in the Spirit of God as we pray. Now look back real quickly to Acts chapter 4. We're going to head down to verse 31 as we begin to kind of wind down our time together this morning. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. We see as they brought their prayer to its conclusion, in verse 31, the church again is gathered there, and it says, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. Now just imagine that for a moment, if we were all in here gathered in prayer, just crying out, just voices everywhere, and as we finished, God just shook the walls of this building. Imagine what was going through their minds, excitement, maybe some of them were feared or were fearful. But as they finished praying, God shook the walls of that building, and they were immediately filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the power of God, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. So as they finished praying, God unleashed his power in their presence, and he equipped them to continue to be bold in sharing the gospel. He equipped them with the power they needed to continue on their calling to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. You know, Billy Graham was once asked, you know, what was the key to a successful crusade? Some of you, I realize, have no idea who Billy Graham is or what a crusade is these day and age, but he used to do these big events back in 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, even past that. They would fill places like Madison Square Garden, things like that, hundreds of thousands of people, and he would share the gospel. And he literally would have hundreds of thousands of people come to faith in Christ. And so he was being interviewed one time. They said, what's the key to a successful crusade? Because as Christians, as human beings, we're always trying to find the keys to success. We're always trying to simplify things. We're always trying to find that right antidote so we can replicate something like that. And Billy Graham said, it's very complicated. He said, number one, it's prayer. He said, number two, it's prayer. He said, and the third thing you need is more prayer. Prayer is crucial to the life of the believer and to the church. It's not something we do and we get to. It's something that must be, that we are intentional about doing every single day. It's the power of God that saves. It's the power of God that brings understanding to his word and to his gospel. It's the power of God that brings revival. There's not one revival in church history that happened without a group of people on their knees beforehand. It's the power of God that transforms people in cities. And so the question I have for us, church, is will we make the strenuous work of prayer a priority? Because I am convinced we will not see a move of God in this place, in this city, or in the nations without it. And I don't know about you, I want to see a move of God. I want to see the power of God unleashed in this place. I want to see God transform lives. I want to see the lost get found. I want to see brokenness healed. I want to see miracles and healings. I want to see the power of God present in this place. So as Matt and the team come and lead us in our time of response this morning, that's what I want us to consider. I want us to consider, hey, am I willing to put in the work, the strenuous work of prayer? Am I willing to sweat it out as much in prayer as I am in doing my CrossFit or my marathons or whatever it may be? Am I willing to make it as much of a priority as I do the other things in my life? Will I make prayer as big of a priority as going on vacation or doing travel ball or going to work or whatever it may be? Will prayer no longer be the thing that I'll do if I get to it? Will it be a priority? Imagine, church, what God might do if his people would just pray. If his people would seek his face before they sought his hand. If they would be utterly dependent upon his power for everything they do. Will you commit this week, church, to just open up the book of Psalms and start praying? I know today was not, it was more for believers in the room than the unbeliever, but I do have a challenge for the unbelievers in the room. I challenge you to Google it, to find a Bible, to download the Bible apps, but to go to find Jeremiah 29:13. Just Google it. It's probably the easiest way for you to find it. And in Jeremiah 29:13, Jeremiah writes that you will seek me, he's talking about God, you will seek God and you will find God when you seek God with all your heart. I'm gonna challenge you to pray that text this week. Say, God, this is what your Bible, your so-called truth says. I'm gonna challenge you this week, God. It says, if I sincerely seek you, I will find you. I challenge you to pray that as a prayer this week and see, and then come back and tell me you didn't find God. Because I can tell you that this is true, that if you sincerely seek after him with all your heart, if you start seeking after God, you will find him. The question is, what are you going to do with him when you find him? He wants to invite you into a relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. He wants to forgive you of your sins and bring you into eternal life. But will you, when you find him, will you choose that? And so my prayer for you this week is going to be that you say yes to Jesus if you will commit to seek him this week. So normally during our time of response, it's a time of worship. I'm still going to call you to worship. But I would challenge you today, maybe to spend the first few moments in prayer. Maybe praying for the first time, maybe praying for the first time in a long time. Maybe praying in a way you've never prayed before. But use this time to respond to the Lord. Evaluate your own prayer life. And just invite the Holy Spirit in this place to do what only he can do. Let's pray. God, man, I thank you. I thank you that you've given us the gift of prayer. That how crazy is it that the God of all creation, the God of the universe, the God that raised Jesus from the dead would even allow us to approach his throne. God, that a sinner like me can even have a conversation with a holy God like you. It's hard for me to even process, Lord. But in your grace, you have said that this is so. God, I pray that we would never neglect the work of prayer. God, that we would never take it for granted that we get to commune with you in this way. God, I pray that as a church, we would dedicate ourselves to the strenuous work of prayer. God, and that through that work, we would just see you do mighty things. We would see supernatural things unfold. We would see people get healed. We would see people come to faith in Christ. We would see just a complete transformation of communities and cities, Lord. God, we would just see such a big outflowing of your Spirit, God, one that has never been seen in recent years, Lord. God, that we'd be a church on our knees that seeks your face, that declares their dependence upon you above all else, that we would seek you because you are worthy to be sought. God, we praise you this morning, if you answer our prayers, and we praise you if you don't, because you are worthy. God, if we can't say with our hearts this morning that we would still praise you, even if your answer to our prayers was no, or no answer at all, Lord, I pray that you would help us in our heart this morning. Lord, I pray for those in the room that do not yet know you. God, I pray that if they take the challenge this week and they seek you, that they would find you. God, you would make your gospel known to them and they would choose to follow Jesus this week. Lord, I ask that you would just lead us in this time of worship, that you would just pour out your Spirit. You continue to meet us where we are. That we would be unified in you this morning, that with one voice we would pray to you, with one voice we would worship you this morning. That we would declare your goodness and your greatness. God, pour out your Spirit. God, we love you and we praise you. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just want to share something with everybody. I came across this past week, which shows how awesome God is that he would prepare my heart for this message. I don't know if any of you guys have seen this or anything, but it kind of laid a foundation for my prayer time with God. The word pray, if you break it down, you start with praise, and you thank God for all he's done, for who he is. You move on from praise to the R, repent, turn from your sin, ask God to forgive you for your sin. Then you move on to the A, which is ask. You ask God for your needs, whatever's going on in your life, for your family, whatnot. And then you yield, which is your why. And I just thought that was very cool. And Pastor Jared can tell me if I'm right or wrong on that, but I just thought that was a good foundation for that and how I saw that leading up to before this message. So, but I stand right there with Pastor Jared. This song's called Surrounded by Holy. So if you feel you need to sit, if you feel you need to come up here and kneel, if you feel you need to go in the back and just pray to God, just take these words and surround yourself with the Holy God and praise God that we can actually do that and that he gives us the opportunity to do that.
Amen. Please be seated. So thankful for our worship team. If you were here about a year ago, I think we were just getting assembled, and it's amazing. Y'all do such a tremendous job, so thank you. For the announcements, the Three Chords date night is coming up. I see Heidi walking across the back, Ben in the back. So if you have any questions about that, if you're interested in participating and allowing the Three Chords ministry team to watch your kids so you can have a night out, please reach out to them. Small groups, Pastor talked about it about that at the beginning. The sign-up sheet will be out on the 10th of August. So, you know, if you have any questions about that as well, you know, talk to myself or Pastor or Miss Tammy. If there's something, I'd say it's just as important as being here on a Sunday as being part of a small group. So please consider that. The Founder Youth Group's coming up with they will have a parent-student meeting on the 20th. And such a tremendous group of leaders and kids there as well. So please take part in that event. Discover Replicate. I looked at the replicatechurch.org because the address wasn't on here. It is at the church office address is at the bottom of the webpage. And we'll look at possibly getting that added to the bulletin. So if you're in charge of the bulletin, no, I'm joking. We'll get that. And again, lunch is served on those days is on the Replicate, Discover Replicate day. So please attend that if you're interested. And if you have questions, please see Pastor. There's another sign-up sheet in the back. So when we have events, there's a table right back here in the back of the church where we have sign-up sheets, and it gives you like the 5 W's, the who, what, when, where, and why of what the event is. There's a couple women's events. There's a sign-up sheet for the women's retreat this fall. But September 6th, the Emmanuel Baptist Church has a conference for women, and that sign-up sheet is back there. And if you have questions, please see Miss Tammy or Marie. I believe she's tracking. Or she just tasked me to make the sign-up sheet this morning. I don't know which. But anyway, so that's in the back there. And I believe that covered everything. This morning, we have a baptism. So that's two in a row. Awesome. I'll turn it back over to Pastor, and he'll after the baptism, he'll close us out. Thank you.
This morning, we have Ms. Lily Beach, who said... She was upset that I didn't tell her we were doing them last week. She wanted to get on it, so I told her we'll just do it again this week. And so Ms. Lily, I was talking to her this morning. She has decided to follow Jesus. And so as Scripture commands, baptism is just an outward sign of our commitment to Jesus. So she said she wanted to follow through with that. And so you ready to get in the nice warm waters right here? You want your daddy to help you in, or you want me to help you in? Okay, that's what I thought. Miss Lily, if you want to come right here and then sit down so we don't bang your head. It's really warm, isn't it?
It's freezing.
All right, so we'll make it quick, Miss Lily. Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yeah.
All right, because you have, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Congratulations. Amen. You guys be sure to give Miss Lily a nice, wet, warm hug before you leave this morning. Again, small groups. Hey, if you're interested in leading or hosting one, please see me. We've had some growth, which is good, but we need some more room for some more small groups. Also, ladies, if you're free during the week, we were talking this morning. We had somebody that was interested in starting just like a small group for moms during the week while kids are at school. If you're interested in that as well, see me. If you, either one of those things or kind of piqued your interest, come see me this morning. I'm going to pray for us, and you guys are free to go this morning. Lord Jesus, we just we celebrate this morning Lily's profession of faith, God, that there is one more added to the names in heaven, God. And we just pray that her baptism would be a sign and a celebration of those in the room, Lord. God, that we would have, we get to celebrate more and more of those as we move forward in pursuing your will in East Milton, Lord. God, we pray over Brandon and Jennifer as they disciple Lily in their home. And we pray that as a church, we would help to end that discipleship journey and help her to grow and mature in her relationship with you, Lord. And God, we just pray for her, Lily, as she goes into school this week, that she would just be a light for you. She would be able to tell her friends about Jesus and invite them to church and just stand on your truth and just be Jesus to those around her, Lord. God, I just pray your blessing be over this group of people as they leave here today, Lord, that you would spur us on towards the hard work of prayer, God, and we would just see you work amazing things as the result of that work of prayer, Lord. And we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Y'all have a great week.